2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to pick up the reading at verse 8 and read to verse 12. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Now, last Lord's Day, we focused upon verse 12, and I'd like to focus our attention there this afternoon. Reading it again, he says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. So in this statement, Paul, he's expressing his great confidence in the Lord. He's entrusted his very soul to the Lord Jesus, and he's confident to leave the welfare of his soul with the Savior. He says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. What I particularly want to call your attention to this afternoon is that little expression, he is able. Now, very briefly, we considered that last Lord's Day, and I want us to examine it again today. When considering that phrase last week, we looked at who Paul was trusting in and why he was so convinced that he was able to guard his soul. Paul was trusting in the one who created the universe by merely speaking it into existence. So he was trusting one who is omnipotent, who had all power. This is the one that he was trusting who calmed the wind and the waves with a word. He cast out demons with a word. He healed all kinds of diseases just with a word. He even raised the dead with a word. To remember him going to a home where there was a dead little girl laying on the bed. He said, child, arise! And the child awakened from death. On another occasion, he stopped a funeral procession, and he commanded the dead man in the coffin to arise. And the man got out of the coffin alive. He called to Lazarus, who had been dead and in the tomb for 4 days, crying out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus awakened from the dead, and he came forth. Jesus, after lying in a tomb for 3 days himself, he defeated death by rising from the dead exactly as he said he would do. Paul was trusting in the one who had ascended to heaven. He was trusting in the one who is at the right hand of God, even at this very moment, interceding for his people. So Paul says, I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. Now that expression, he is able, it's used in several other places in the Bible. I want to read several of them to you. Romans 4:21, being fully assured that what had been promised, he is able also to perform. Romans 14, verse 4, to his own master, he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Romans 16, verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Hebrews 2 and verse 18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 11:19, he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead. James 4, verse 12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. And then there's Jude 1, 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. Now think of all that we are being told here in what God is able to do. He is able to guard your souls, able to keep all of his promises to us, able to make us stand, able to establish us. That establish us means to sustain us or to strengthen us, able to lavish all grace upon us, able to answer our prayers beyond anything that we ask him or even think of asking him, able to help us when we're tempted, able to raise us even from the grave. He is able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in his presence on the great day of judgment and for all eternity. And he is able to save forever. God is able to do all of that. Now, do you believe that? Do you have the same confidence that the Apostle Paul had when he speaks of entrusting his soul, knowing he's able to keep him? Do you have that kind of faith? Now, there's no doubt that every one of us, I'm sure, believe that God is able to do whatever God desires to do. If God can create the entire universe by speaking it into existence, then surely God can do anything else. Jeremiah 32 says, "Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee." You might remember in Luke chapter 1, the angel told Mary that even though she's a virgin, she's going to be with child. And then the angel said, "Nothing will be impossible with God." In Genesis 18, God said to Abraham, after promising that Sarah, in her old age, she was going to have a child, God said to Abraham, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" In Numbers chapter 11, the Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's power limited?" In Matthew 19, the disciples asked Jesus, "Who can be saved?" And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible." God can do whatever he wills to do. He's able. We know God is able. Where we have difficulty in trusting him and where our faith wavers or even falls, isn't the question, is God able? It's the question, is he willing? We're very much like the leper who came to the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 1. And there we read, a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, this man's showing remarkable faith, because his faith is not wavering where most people's faith would have wavered. He's convinced that even though he's covered with leprosy, the Lord had the power to heal him. If you're willing, you can do it. What the leper questioned was, is he willing? And so it is with us at times. We don't doubt God's power. When we're questioning, is he willing? We're wondering about his love and his compassion and his grace towards us. That's what we're wondering. It's interesting that Mark's gospel records Jesus' response to leper, and it's a wonderful response. It says, and moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and he said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. God is able to do whatever we ask of him. And if what we are asking him is for our eternal good, we are going to find God willing. We just have to trust him. Well, as we come to the table of the Lord this afternoon, we're reminded of something else God is able to do. It is something that would be absolutely impossible for God to do had it not been for the cross. God is able to forgive guilty sinners and remain just as he does so. The penalty for sinning, Ezekiel 18, the soul who sins will die. And that goes beyond just physical death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Galatians 3:10, for as many are as of the works of the law, they're under a curse. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Death is the just penalty for breaking God's law and sinning against him. So in light of such scriptures of that, and of course there's many more, how can God remain a just judge and still forgive all of our sins as we're so guilty? How can he do it? Well, we're told how God is able to do it in Romans 3. If you want to turn there, we're going to conclude with this. Romans 3 tells us how God is able. Now, in the first portion of this chapter, we are told how desperately depraved and sinful we are. And then we're told how God remains just as he justifies the guilty. So let's read from verses 23 to 26 and see how is God able to forgive the guilty. Here it says in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as being declared not guilty, being declared righteous, as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God's justice has been satisfied. His justice has been satisfied for all of the sins that we have committed. The penalty that we so much deserve, that penalty has been carried out. Our debt, it's been paid in full. It was all poured out on the Lord Jesus as the wrath of God poured out upon him, and he suffered the penalty. The penalty that we deserve. He did it all for us. So the scripture says there must be death. There was death. Jesus suffered it. We're the guilty. But God punished our sins in our Savior so that we might be declared innocent and clothed in righteousness before the holy God. Galatians 3 says, for as many are of the works of the law, they're under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book to perform them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Well, as we come to the table, let's remember he's able to remain perfectly just as he forgives us who have committed sins against him. Well, let's turn another